In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome once again to Strange Planet. All right, it's been a while since I've conversed with the editor publisher of a very, very important newsletter we're about to tell you about, World Affairs Brief, which is a commentary and insights on a troubled world. It's never been more needed than it is today. We're going to look at some very important developments in the United States. But first, let me introduce the editor and publisher, Joel Skousen. Joel, Happy New Year. Welcome back. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to be with you, Richard. We've enjoyed a long association over the years and have seen the world continue to spiral downward as we comment about it.
Yes. And we were just saying before we pushed record, this is, I think, our first face-to-face, thanks to the technology of Zoom. And I think we've known each other probably 15 years or so. So it's great to finally to see you.
Yes, the same here for me.
All right, let's talk about the discovery of, I've almost lost count, the number of classified documents that were found first at the Penn Biden think tank in Washington, D.C., and then, of course, at his home, or is it Hunter's home? We'll get into that as well, in Wilmington, Delaware. So, first of all, give us an update. Is it three different stashes of documents, or two or three in Wilmington, and then the one at the Penn Biden think tank? How many so far do we know?
Yeah, it's four now that they found, and they're still looking. But there is a major scramble now to distinguish Hunter Biden or Joe Biden's stash of classified from Donald Trump's. That's the major story. As well, this is different. This is different. Well, what really is different is that with Donald Trump as president, he has the unilateral ability to declassify anything that he takes with him after the presidency. And he, as he said, and he was totally correct, every president takes classified documents with him. And Trump had particular need to take classified document, which proved that the deep state was out to get him. And he carried some of those with him. And that's what the people in the deep state really wanted back, to make sure that he couldn't use blackmail. And we've even found now that Donald Trump even has kept back some of those that they didn't find yet. So this is an ongoing story, even about Donald Trump. But his is legitimate, in my opinion. However, the vice president of the United States, and this is what Hunter Biden took these as vice president, does not have any
authority. Joe Biden,
I'm sorry.
Joe
Biden. Joe Biden does not have any authority to declassify any documents or take them home with him. And so Donald Trump has rightly said the National Archives is prejudiced against him because they didn't go after Joe Biden and his stash. They weren't concerned about it until it was made public. And as I say, there's going to be a major cover-up. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, has created a special prosecutor who ostensibly is a conservative.
Yes.
But he, Mr. Herr, worked under Rod Rosenstein, who was deep state. And it's hard for me to believe that Rod Rosenstein would have picked as an assistant, you know, someone who didn't share his deep state background, because certainly that assistant would have been involved or understood some of the things that Rod Rosenstein was working with and covering up. And this is not strange at all. You know, you take Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh has been deep state ever since he was number two to Ken Starr in covering up for the Vince Foster murder. He did have a relatively conservative judicial career as a judge, and so he got now on the Supreme Court. But anyone who's been deep state in a major cover-up operation can be, their chain can be yanked at any time. And that's what they want to use on the Supreme Court. And that's what you saw is Kavanaugh voting with Roberts on key issues that denied the conservatives a win on the court. And You talk about John Durham and his ongoing 6-year investigation, supposedly, of the Trump conspiracy, and he's never put anyone forth, you know, for prosecution except some low-level people. I just don't think we're going to get anything but a cover-up in this and an excuse. I'm certainly that the sitting president is not going to have his finger slapped or be run out of office because of this.
I had read, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the Penn Biden think tank was in part funded by the Chinese. Is that true?
Well, it's hard. You know, these funds are all intermixed. The Bidens, both Hunter and the big guy, Joe, who's referred to in the emails, got millions of dollars from the Chinese. Hunter Biden, of course, got $1 million from, the wife of a mayor of Moscow. For what? You have to ask. And that money is certainly intermingled. I'm not sure of the provenance of all of that, whether or not they actually got a few Chinese to invest in the Penn Biden think tank, but it's very, very possible. But clearly, you know, Bidens don't usually use their own money for these things. They make these things public and they go out to solicit from people who are at least periphery to the deep state, who are known as people who will fund these types of operations. And certainly the Chinese could have been involved.
The Department of Justice knew about the documents at the Penn Biden think tank, I think in November. So just before the midterm elections, perhaps, yet they said nothing. Obviously, the timing there is a little suspicious in terms of releasing this information.
Yeah, it's obvious they were not wanting to reveal this to the American people that Trump or other, you know, Republicans could have used against them in the midterms. Of course, you know, that was relatively, let me put it this way, in terms of election fraud. I covered in the World Affairs Brief extensively how election fraud has now turned to computer fraud because it's so easily hidden now. But still, you know, you have Democrats still putting in phony ballots in the ballot boxes. You have a little bit of that. It's not to any degree what it was in 2020, when you had literally truckloads of ballots being delivered to the various counting centers in the middle of the night after they had supposedly shut down. But because they've gone mostly electronic fraud now, which is very easy to do because you can now insert programs which determine a certain percentage outcome at the very end, it's impossible to trace because they erase the program after it's done its duty. And then if you do a recount, the computer comes up with the same result every single time. I mean, it's just brilliant. The only way to get around that, of course, is to have hardwired election computers that don't have a software input. And of course, you could do that even with existing computers if you didn't allow any internet access once the election had started, so that no one could intervene and insert a program. You could seal those computers so that can't happen. But what I'm just saying is that the key point is that they still have to, I mean, the Democratic Party is built on a lot of election fraud at the root, grassroots level, a lot of corruption in Illinois and Chicago and in New York and California, of course, that operates this stuff. But now, the neat thing about computer fraud is that they can work what happened in 2020. It can give you a few selective races that make sure that the outcome gives the Republicans just a bare majority. And this is what we saw out, of course, in the, you know, the McCarthy speakership. Is Republicans only had could only afford to lose four votes to lose their majority in the Senate. So it becomes very easy to manipulate. Now, had they done enough fraud that the Democrats completely defeated the Republicans, everyone would have smelled a rat because, you know, it was supposed to be an overwhelming Republican victory. Now they made it just a barely Republican. This is very sophisticated type fraud. You pick and choose races. They didn't, in fact.
Particularly when you have a number of liberal Republicans, and we'll talk about McCarthy and his, you know, compromising, where you can easily swing over enough liberal Republicans to the Democrat side so that the majority means nothing anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so that's the problem, is that, you know, you have a lot of rhino Republicans that are elected to the Senate. We see this. What's interesting now, though, Richard, is that ever since the Trump presidency, so much of what the deep state does in manipulation in politics has become very, very public. It has become very easy to trace. It isn't that it all started during the Trump regime. It's been going on for years and well honed. And that's why, as we get in and talk about the McCarthy speakership, you know, the Republicans who are mainstream Republicans are complaining about the Freedom Caucus because, you see, why give them a chairmanship? Why give them a hierarchy on these committees? Because we've been there for years and we deserve the chairmanship because we paid our dues. The problem is they don't realize those dues were paid unfairly for decades because all of the speakers have been mainstream rhino Republicans, that is, Republicans in name only, and have been picking their fellow conspirators to be part of key committees. So that's how they got the seniority ship, and that's why it was unfair from the very beginning.
Right,
so
under John Boehner and Paul Ryan, at the exclusion of the real conservatives, they were pushed out, and so now they want the gavel. They think they're entitled because they've been sitting there longer. Now, just getting back to the classified documents for a moment, because I wanted to touch on then the discovery of, I guess, three different stashes of documents at the home in Wilmington, Delaware. And Joe Biden said, hey, there's nothing to worry about. It was in a locked garage with my Corvette. But there is a problem, and it appears as if that residence was being rented by...
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you. Now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Plinky County 911. There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
A Hunter Biden.
Well, so much of the Biden's affairs are intermingled between Hunter and his brother James and Joe Biden. And they've used Hunter Biden and James Biden, his brother, to cover for a lot of the financial dealings that have been going on that are directly supporting Joe Biden. And this is just one more thing that has been uncovered, is that this looks like it was a Hunter rental and clearly not secure. I mean, how secure is a garage? I mean, you know how easy it is to break into a garage door. At least Trump had those in a locked safe room, et cetera, so they were accountable, but not the Biden. I mean, this was stashed in a garage, and you can't tell me that it's locked. I mean, a garage door opener can be opened with a code reader just instantly. There's just no security in a garage at all.
Plus, Joe Biden spends so much time, I think 200 days, so far during his first term, 200 days already he spent in Wilmington, Delaware, and there's no record of who comes and goes to see him. So who knows who could have had access?
Remember, there's more than one house that he has in Delaware as well. So we're not, no one has revealed where he goes, because these records are kept very, very classified, especially the logs about who comes and he talks to. And that's what Americans want to know. Who is lobbying the president during these visits in Wilmington when it's all kept secret? And unlike at the White House, where there are official logs that are kept and have to be part of the presidential library that we can research, but not so at the Wilmington residences, because there's at least a beach house and a main residence in Wilmington and one other that I've heard about.
And God knows who Hunter Biden has dragged home,
yes,
after a night of imbibing. Hey, let me show you my dad's classified documents. How much trouble is Joe Biden in? Do you think is Merrick Garland, in the interest of the appearance of fairness, going to have to come down hard on him? There's also a theory that these revelations they were leaked by Democrat insiders who want to push Joe Biden aside.
Well, that's very real. There's a real strong movement within the Democratic Party to get a stronger candidate for 2024, even though they're going to use election fraud. I just have told my readers for years, we're never going to win another election again in a way that matters in a significant way. But I think the fact that Merrick Garland chose a Republican conservative to run this as special prosecutor indicates that it's going to be a cover-up. And I think he's a cover for that. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing and is going to cover for this. I think it's going to be a slap on the hands if there's anything. But whatever it is, they won't find any criminal wrongdoing. So there'll be no prosecution. They will find that it was improper. He'll apologize. But I think that's going to be the extent of it. Remember, right. The one of the promises of being part of the deep state, even as your puppet, is that we promise you immunity from prosecution. And the only reason that is ever broken is like in Rudy Giuliani's case, you know, if you get so off base and so drunk and so stupid and do say, you know, that they have to let you go down. But generally speaking, that prosecution holds if you're at all careful.
Right. So
look at all the people who are involved with Jeffrey Epstein, and they've absolutely shut down the revelations of who the powerful people that visited his compound, multiple compounds.
Exactly. For the first time in history, you know, we don't have a client list. Well, not the first time in history, but anyway. So do you discount the theory though that this is being orchestrated by someone inside the DNC, maybe someone inside the Biden White House who's trying to push him aside, maybe clear the way for, I don't know, Gavin Newsom, or maybe even some have offered up the idea of Michelle Obama?
Well, my feeling is that Biden is such a controlled entity of a powerful, you know, deep state behind running this entire administration. Biden doesn't do anything, basically, except what he's told. That it doesn't take a machination by a Democrat to get him out. I mean, literally, he is there at the behest of a secret group of people who run his administration, and they can simply tell him to retire, and he will. So I discount that certain Democrats have to go through a very convoluted process in order to get him out of there.
You mentioned Trump is holding back some documents. Would these be, would these pertain to Ukraine and the influence peddling and the money laundering going back to Joe Biden during his vice presidency?
It's hard to say. You know, I'm not an insider. I don't know what he's holding back, but I know that there is, you know, a lot of skullduggery that went on against Donald Trump, and he's got to have some information to protect himself. And I just can't comment, you know, with any authority on it because I don't know.
You're right. Let's let people know how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief.
A World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. And on the left-hand side, there's a little phrase that says request a sample. You just click on that and it tells you how to subscribe. It's only $48 a year, about a dollar a month. But my analysis is unique. I analyze from the standpoint of what the deep state is doing to the United States. And I cover Canada in terms of, you know, Justin Castro Trudeau. And I'm absolutely convinced that this is a bastard son of Fidel Castro that's running Castro. He looks almost identical to him.
And you also scour the foreign press. How many languages do you speak, foreign languages?
Six.
Six.
Wow. And so it's been a long time since I was semi-fluent in a lot of those, and I haven't been overseas since the COVID thing. But I still read fluently in many foreign languages, which allows me, because there is a lot that comes out, especially the German press, sometimes the Italian press, and the French press that doesn't get to the United States. We have a very closed system. Even Reuters, you know, out there in Germany, and Reuters in Europe is different than Reuters in the United States.
So we talked about Trump. Let me get to something else in this week's World Affairs Brief, and that has to do with the situation down in Brazil and Bolsonaro, President Bolsonaro, who was involved in a runoff election with basically a communist with deep ties, it would appear, to the drug cartels down in Brazil, who served previously as president of Brazil, was finally sent to prison, or was at least charged and indicted.
He
was convicted, but he didn't go to prison because of the Supreme Court there.
No, he did go to prison.
Oh, he did go to prison.
He was released by the Supreme Court to run, but he did go to prison, yes.
Right, and they expunged his records, making him eligible to run, which was interesting. The power the Supreme Court has in Brazil is very different than the Supreme Court in the United States, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you've got to remember Lula da Silva is used to run the annual Foro de São Paulo, which is a Forum of São Paulo, which was a meeting of all the revolutionaries, not just left wing. These are revolutionaries from Venezuela, from Cuba, from everywhere else, other place, Chile and Argentina. All the communists used to meet every year in São Paulo, and he would host that, and it was secret. And of course, they would plan the overthrow of various governments around. I mean, this is a revolutionary. This is not just a Marxist. This is an absolute communist revolutionary, Lula da Silva. And he ran roughshod over people's rights in Brazil for many years. And when Jair Bolsonaro was able to get the he basically stacked the judicial department, you know, with enough conservatives that they were able to prosecute him and send him to jail for corruption. And it was really severe corruption, you know, drug kingpins building a house for him on the beach and other types of things that, you know, was uncovered. And he was sent to prison for that, which made him an eligible run. Jair Bolsonaro was, got guns back in the hands, made it legal for Brazilians to get guns for their own protection, which was a big thing. But he was labeled as the Trump of South America and vilified. And in fact, he was stabbed in an assassination attempt when he was running for president, and he still suffers from abdominal problems. He's in a hospital right now in Florida. And of course, the left wants him exiled back to Brazil because they want to prosecute him for insurrection, just like Donald Trump.
I mean, yeah, they had their own January 6th, weeks ago, when tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Brazilians stormed their parliament.
Yeah.
And of course, the media up here trying to make it, you know, this parallel that, this was all inspired by MAGA Americans, and Trump and Bolsonaro were basically interchangeable. So as you point out in the newsletter, World Affairs Brief, the left, or the ruling class, let's say, they want Trump and Bolsonaro both either in jail or dead.
That's right. And they want Bolsonaro dead. They're ruthless there in Latin America about these things, you know. And it reminds me, and the left is really hungry to get both Trump and Bolsonaro. They don't dare kill Trump. And the reason why Trump was never assassinated, I believe, was because they didn't want to build a martyr effect on behalf of Donald Trump, which would have even built his movement even stronger in the United States. But Bolsonaro in the Latin America is a little bit different. It reminds me, and I told this story in the World Affairs Brief, about the overthrow of Nicaragua, which happened during the Jimmy Carter regime in the United States, where they literally allowed the communist Sandinistas to take over Nicaragua by cutting off military aid. All ammunition was cut off. All the advisors, everything was cut off from the president of Nicaragua. And he ended up basically going to lose the war because of not having any military supplies. And so Jimmy Carter volunteered to have him come to Miami in exile, if he would leave and give up the fight, which he did. And then as soon as he got here, Jimmy Carter said, you can't stay. And they kicked him out of the country. And he went and finally found the only right-wing, so-called right-wing in Paraguay, General Stroessner, let him come there. And then the left hunted him down and assassinated the president of Nicaragua there in Paraguay. So it was a very sad thing. And I think that's what they want. They want Bolsonaro out of the United States where he can be assassinated in Brazil. And I think you'll see that happen if they exile him.
Joel, we'll take a quick time out, come back and talk about the U.S. House of Representatives and Kevin McCarthy. Back with more.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
of our conversation right after these.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Sarrett's Strange Planet.
Joel Skousen, editor, publisher, World Affairs Brief. Once again, Joel, how do we subscribe?
World Affairs Brief is .com is the place to go and click on Request a Sample. It tells exactly the various ways you can subscribe, either for 1 year, 2 years, or even a month. For $5, you can have a trial, a subscription, and then renew if you want to keep going or enjoy my unique point of view. Let me just point out before we move on to McCarthy that the seminal work was written by the president of Nicaragua himself, Anastasio Somoza, and he names names. He tells you who he met with the State Department, how they betrayed him, how the CIA got involved, who shipped arms from the United States and allowed the arms shipments to go through to the communists. It's a brilliant book. It's called Nicaragua Betrayed. It's still available on Amazon. I recommend people read it. If you want to get an inside story on how the United States brings communists to power, and the purpose of that, you know, it's very interesting, is that people don't understand, so many people don't understand that the globalists are running these conspiracies, and it's not a communist conspiracy. The globalists are using communists to break down certain countries, like even in the United States, they sponsor the BLM and Antifa people to break down and cause social unrest. Not because they themselves are communists, because they want the communists to create the crisis that allows them to come over, come back, and provide you a solution that you would not otherwise accept. And that's what the globalists are doing. And that's why communism is still being supplied and helped in Russia and China. Well, not so much in Russia anymore, but China, to create two enemies that will eventually bring us to a world war, a third world war. So it's a very complex situation out there that you need to understand.
One more point on Bolsonaro, and that has to do with the military in Brazil. Where are they in all this? They said that they, because there's no sort of election oversight in Brazil the way they have ostensibly in the United States and other places. The military, did they look into it and said, well, they didn't rule out that there could have been some election skullduggery, but where is the military? Do they side with Bolsonaro?
Well, the military has the power to intervene and overrule the results of an election. They're constitutionally provisioned to be able to have that power. And so Bolsonaro appealed to the military to look into the fraud thing, but the military was totally unequipped to go through and do the forensic type investigation that would be necessary to find election fraud. Now, what I mean by forensic is that you would actually have to go into the hard drives, because these programs have been erased after they've been used to create fraud. And one of the reasons, by the way, that fraud is suspected highly in Brazil, as well as in 2020, is Republicans in America won all over the place, but Trump did not. And the same thing in Brazil. Bolsonaro's party won everywhere except in the presidency. You know, how is that? That's just a real anomaly. But you would have to go in and analyze the hard drives and find the bits and pieces of the program that were erased. And that takes a great deal of forensic ability to be able to do that, and a great deal. And the military didn't have the time. So they just said, we can't find the information to say. And so they let it go down.
But the people in Brazil, you know, millions of them continue to protest. Is it possible at some point, the military will step in?
I'm not sure. I can't help but think, as in every other Latin American country, and I've lived there for many years and know the languages, so they've all been purged of right-wing military people during the communist regime. That's what happened in Venezuela. That's what happened in Argentina. You know, you purge your right-wing conservatives out of the military, so there is no chance of a coup. So even though the military has not been completely purged in Brazil, I think it's at least half purged. And so it's not a slam dunk thing. There is contention within the military itself.
All right. Let's talk about the election. After 15 ballots of Kevin McCarthy to the position of Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, the Freedom Caucus, which is about, I guess, 20 Republican representatives, won some major concessions from McCarthy. Let's walk through some of the more important ones. Let's start with the rules governing how legislation gets to the floor and so forth.
Well, the Rules Committee is a really a key element in the congressional path to passage of legislation, because it's the Rules Committee that when they're controlled, they've usually been controlled by at least a 9-4 ratio with mainstream Republicans versus conservatives. So the conservatives could never overrule the Rules Committee. And, you know, there's been a 72-hour rule, for example, for many years that you have to have 72 hours for the legislators to read the documentation before you vote on it. And the Rules Committee continues to say, we're going to waive that rule because we're up against the debt ceiling limit, for example, and we need this vote right away. So they always end up waiving the rule. So now one of the demands of the conservatives was to change our vote. We want to have a majority on the Rules Committee so that we can determine that. And we want an ironclad guarantee you're not going to break the 72-hour rule.
So that members can actually read the bill before voting. How novel.
Yeah. And even that's almost impossible with a 4,000-page omnibus bill like they just passed.
Right. And then will the Rules Committee also determine, help to determine what legislation is voted on and also in what form instead of, you know, all of these omnibus bills, you get a 5,000-page document and all of this pork is crammed in there and it has nothing to do with the original intent of the bill. Will this Rules Committee be able to change that so that they vote on, I don't know, like simpler
pieces? Each appropriations has to be voted on separately. Each amount of pork barrel politics for a particular state has to be voted on separately. And that is a logistical problem, by the way, because we're talking about hundreds of votes. And to get people to make sure you have a quorum to keep voting on these things and to get up to speed on each one of these is a difficult thing. The Rules Committee determines, for example, whether or not amendments will be allowed in the voting process. And that's a key element that they have exercised against conservatives, not allowing amendments into an omnibus bill. So having control of the Rules Committee is going to be key to stopping McCarthy from what he did historically during the Trump administration.
Well, the other key is that the motion to vacate the chair, they got McCarthy to agree that it would only take one vote, one person to stand up and, you know, ask for a vote on whether McCarthy should vacate the chair. So this means that the Freedom Caucus will really be able to hold him to account. If he reneges on anything, they could go through this whole voting process again, another 15 ballots to elect a new speaker, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the only thing that makes good on these promises. These were written down in secret. They were only revealed after the vote in piecemeal. You know, not all of them were revealed by McCarthy or the Republicans. Just certain representatives came out and said, here's what I demand and here's what I got in promises. But the only way, you know, they've had promises from McCarthy before, and he's reneged on those. And that's why they needed this single vote of no confidence to start up the process of voting for a new speaker. And it will hold McCarthy's feet to the fire. And, you know, he had previously agreed on 5, but they wanted 1. And I think that's only because there's so much pressure on these congressmen to not buck the system, because they really, they're way still that McCarthy can work against them to make sure that what they want doesn't get done. There's a dozen different maneuvers that they haven't covered that he can, you know, just if nothing else, by getting the other Rhino Republicans to not support anything the conservatives want to do.
Talk to me about the formation of what I think could be a very powerful committee, and that is investigating the weaponization of the U.S. government, not just the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA, but all levels of government against groups and individuals in America. Is that Jim Jordan's committee?
That's right. And Jim Jordan is a real attack dog in terms of his investigative powers, and he'll do his very best. But what is going to limit Jim Jordan is the fact that all of this stuff is hidden under the veil of national security. So you've got to get somebody from the FBI or the NSA to admit that they've been openly censoring and other things. And I just don't think they're going to do that. They're going to come and just say, this is top secret material. And of course, they have committees that can hear top secret material. But I think they'll stonewall on this. It's just like this is like a church committee. A church was from Senator Frank Church, which investigated all the deep, dark, secret operations of the FBI. And they got a lot of it, like MK Ultra out in the open. But, you know, they didn't get anywhere near the skullduggery that they did relative to the Kennedy assassination, for example, the CIA's involvement of that. And by the way, you know, the January 6th committee just sealed up their records from their investigation for 50 years. Now, that's typical what they did in the JFK assassination. That's typical what they did in the Martin Luther King assassination. When I was chairman of the Conservative National Committee in Washington, D.C. in the 1980s, when J. Edgar Hoover had died, his assistant, I talked to his assistant who had become temporary head of the FBI, and I said, what's in the files, the Martin Luther King files that they want to have sealed up for 50 years? And he said, well, you know, there's about 13 file cabinets of files. And one of those file cabinets is about his communist connections. The other 12 are all pornography. There are surveillance of his dealings with prostitutes over the years. 12 file cabinets full of it. And of course, you make a person into a national hero who's the most hypocritical of all reverends, claiming to be a Christian reverend who's been with prostitutes all of his life, including the very night that he was shot at that hotel. Anyway, that's the type of thing. Now, I think the January 6th wants that stuff sealed up because the videos that they have in their file of government do show government agent provocateurs and other evidence that indicates that the government actually fomented this and wanted to lure in the Trump people so that they could prosecute Trump for insurrection. And that's why it's got to be sealed up for 50 years. Now, it's interesting. Let me just also say that even when the 50 years have passed with JFK, they have refused to open up the secret CIA files. And you can tell me why. Why are you seeing, you know, it's just like with 9/11, they'll never open up the files. They never open up the files of Martin Luther King. This is the deep state in operation.
The Kevin McCarthy seemed to indicate that he is in favor of releasing the 14,000 hours of video footage on January 6th. Are you saying that he won't be able to do that because that's sealed? Or, I mean, can he not unseal it? If they can seal it, can he unseal it as Speaker?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think Congress could, but you've got to remember that, you know, McCarthy's got to be deep state controlled himself. Now, he's playing up to the conservatives right now. He took Adam Schiff off the Judiciary Committee, who's been such a thorn, he took Sowell off the Intelligence Committee so that they couldn't do damage or get in the interfere with what the Republicans are doing. But that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, if they can undo that that seal. It seems like they should be able to, but it's never happened yet. And I don't think it will, because that shows the power of the deep state, even on the Republican Party.
All right, one more final timeout. Joel Skousen, editor, publisher, World Affairs Brief, worldaffairsbrief.com. Don't go away.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
And we're back with Joel Skousen, editor, publisher, World Affairs Brief. Once again, Joel, how do we subscribe?
Subscribe by going to worldaffairsbrief.com and click on Request a Sample. Then you can read the current brief, which we're talking about, at least in part. And it tells you at the beginning of that all of the details, the various options to subscribe. It's about $1 a week to subscribe.
I wanted to ask you about at least one more committee, and that is... I've heard it referred to as the Gallagher Committee, Mike Gallagher, and this is looking into the Communist Party of China and its infiltration into all aspects of American society. What do you think of the Gallagher Committee?
Well, once again, it's there are opposing forces here. There are those that still want to cover for the Chinese within and its infiltration. I mean, for example, we ought not to allow China to buy any land in the United States or any enemy at all, especially near military bases and other things. China has bought up so much. No one ought to be able to purchase companies or land within the United States unless they're a U.S. citizen. But there are conservatives, and a lot of this is playing up to the conservatives and then controlling them. And that's why I'm not sure anything will really come of this. I mean, something will certainly come out, but whether or not any sanctions will occur against China is very, very doubtful, in my opinion.
Would you like to see, and I don't know whether the Gallagher Commission will have subpoena power. Typically they do, don't they, in committees?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, when it comes to communist China, I think first order of business would to subpoena maybe the commissioner of the NBA, who's quite cozy with communist China and a lot of these big tech companies as well. What do you see happening in terms of who's going to be subpoenaed, do you think? Who should be?
Well, of course, Google should be subpoenaed. Apple should be subpoenaed. Apple plays along with, and so does Google, with the censorship of China and keeping Chinese voices from expressing themselves. You're not going to get any from China to appear before the committee. They're obviously not going to be willing to talk, but you could get the CEO, Tim Cook of Apple, and I don't know if Eric Schmidt, you know, of Meta is going to appear, or Alphabet is going to appear. He's a globalist. He's really high up, goes to all of the major World Forum and Bilderberg type meetings. I'm just very skeptical. I've never seen a government committee actually ever come to a sufficient conclusion about any conspiracy that's ever happened, from JFK to 9/11 to what's going on in January 6th. I'm just very skeptical.
It's interesting that the first couple of bills that the House has passed, one was to rescind the funding for those 87,000 IRS
agents.
Now that'll have to, I mean, that's just going to die either in the Senate or on Joe Biden's desk, right? He'd veto that.
That's right.
But the Senate would also have to rescind that as well, or would they?
Yes, they would. Yeah.
Right.
Appropriations bills have to start in the House, although the Senate has ways of getting around that, but still they have to start initiated in the House, but they have to go through the Senate, and nothing that the Republicans are going to pass. And this is the thing why Kevin McCarthy can play conservative in this way, because he knows that the deep state controls all the two elements above him in order for something to become law. But they'll satisfy the conservatives that at least doing their will, but it will go nowhere. And that's why it was very important for the deep state to control this election, so that the Republicans had just a bare majority, so they could not, in fact, get anything passed.
The other bill that they passed was the, I can't remember the full name of it, but it was providing protection for babies that survived an abortion procedure. I mean, who could possibly argue against that? And yet they were able to get, it was obviously voted along strict partisan lines. All 210 Democrats voted against it. Now, again, I guess that would be an appropriations bill. Maybe not, but
it's not an appropriations bill. That could even start in the Senate if it would. But you see, the abortion issue, unfortunately, is a very unpopular and divisive issue in the United States, and it shouldn't be. But it just tells you how much immorality is going on. That's what it's an indication of. Even in conservative states, you find a slight majority of people wanting to have the right to abortion because of the immorality level. It's just a sad thing. But not to want to survive or help a baby survive. I mean, there was on the ballot in, what was it, Iowa, where the voters, a majority said, we don't want to protect the babies. I mean, I have no explanation for it, Richard. It's just, let me give this warning, though. I can tell you that America has had the blessings of protection for centuries from the Lord, because we have been more or less, the majority have been a good people. Doesn't have to be necessarily religious, but you've got to be listening to conscience. And when people go against conscience in terms of protection of little children, nothing brings on the ire of the Lord more than hurting little children. And we are risking losing the protections of the Lord for our Western nations because of abortion and many other things, and the idiocy of transgender confusion. I mean, this is just bizarre.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a quick word association. I'll throw out some names. Newly minted governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee, your thoughts. You know, she's banning critical race theory. She's banning the word Latinx. I mean, just some, you know, some executive orders, I guess, in her first couple of days in office. But what are your thoughts on Sarah Huckabee, governor of Arkansas?
I think she's a compromiser. Even Kristi Noem has been a compromiser and is in the hands of the Sanford Health System, which I'm covering in today or this week's World Affairs Brief. Dramatic, you know, compromise on her part. But I don't trust Sarah Huckabee. I don't trust her father. You know, they've all been compromisers, but they play they play up to conservatives at the beginning. But when the crucial compromises come, they'll go the other way.
And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
I'm worried about DeSantis for a couple of things. One, first of all, he's a very smart guy. He's Yale educated, but he lets people know it. He's very, very proud of his Ivy League background. He's very ambitious. He wants to be president. His wife wants him to be president. You know, she's a cancer survivor. I'm very worried that the establishment has come out so much in favor of Ron DeSantis. Now, this could be because they hate Donald Trump so much. But it also could be, and we won't tell unless there's a real showdown between the two, if his support evaporates as soon as he becomes the nominee for president, then we might suspect that the establishment was only promoting him to get rid of Donald Trump. But I'm a little bit worried because, first of all, Ron DeSantis read the tea leaves in Florida, and he switched from being pro-vaccine and other things to being against the mandates, et cetera, later on, to his credit. Donald Trump has never repented of his promotion of the vaccine and Moderna. We now know that he made a deal with Moderna even before Operation Warp Speed. But Ron DeSantis gave in, by the way, to Disney and, you know, gave him back their autonomous powers, or at least went along with the Republicans. Unfortunately, every single Republican-controlled legislature in every single state, including Utah, Idaho, Oklahoma, and Florida, is controlled by Rhino Republicans at the top leadership. No Republican legislature is controlled by a real strong conservative. And so you have to watch for these compromises to come back in the back door, like Disney gaining back their autonomy in the county. So I'm a little bit worried about he's obviously a much bigger threat to the Democrats than Donald Trump is, because he is very articulate. He knows how to fight. He knows how to contest right to the face of a reporter. But I'm worried that he could be compromised.
Finally, Carrie Lake. She's claiming she's going to take this election fight all the way to the Supreme Court. There are rumblings that there's already a recall in the works. I guess Katie Hobbs would have to serve 6 months and then a recall could take place. What are your thoughts on Carrie Lake's, her chances of success overturning the election?
First of all, she's not been successful in getting Hobbs to stop her manipulation of the election results. I mean, Arizona's very corrupt. They've had a deep state in Arizona ever since they elected a constitutionalist in a three-way race for Governor Evan Meekum, and they had him out of office within 6 months. That's how powerful the deep state is in Arizona. And they have the likes of John McCain for years. This is a very corrupt state in terms of. Now, Carrie Lake is also a little bit of a charlatan. You know, she says one thing, but I'll tell you, she's been best friends with the top drag queen in Arizona in the Phoenix area for years and tried to downplay that. But anyone who claims to protect family values and is in favor of drag queens, and, you know, I'm not going to give them my affirmation or confidence that they are a true conservative. And I don't think the Supreme Court, which has never backed election fraud anywhere in their history, is going to back her her claims. So I think Arizona is lost, and Carrie Lake, you know, and coming out to that gay party of Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump, lavishing praise on the log cabin Republicans, which have invaded the Republican Party with homosexuals for years. That speaks volumes in my opinion. So I don't trust Carrie Lake at all. She's very electable. She's very electable. She's very charismatic. She talks a good game, but I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her.
Any true conservative Republicans on the horizon that you're optimistic about that could break through?
Well, I think the closest that we get to is Rand Paul in the Senate. He's already, you know, the media just won't give him hardly any airtime at all. They don't want him. They realize that he could be a strong candidate. He seems to be reluctant himself. I think he knows what they did to his father, Ron Paul. But he's the closest that I can see. Almost never do you get a real conservative to reach high political office. You know, even Kristi Noem, as I say, you know, had everything going right. And then you find out how she's really compromised to the Sanford Health Lobby about transgender surgery. And it really is disappointing. As I say, they have a nose, the deep state, out for who's a real principled conservative. And they don't want them to rise very, very far.
Joel, again, how do we subscribe to World Affairs Brief?
Go to worldaffairsbrief.com and click on Request a Sample, and it tells you everything you need to know, and you get to read my latest World Affairs Brief, let you know if you like my analysis.
All right, Joel, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Look forward to speaking with you again in 2023.
My pleasure, Richard.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.